Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosque Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Roofing, and Restoration. For service, call 444-7200. Bosque Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. I want to remind our listeners, too, that New Mexico Folds of Honor is having their fifth annual Patriot Shootout. The date is this Saturday, starts at 7 a.m., Santa Ana Golf Course, and you can go to newmexico.foldsofhonor.org to sign up for the golf tournament. Of course, New Mexico Folds of Honor is working to help put the families of veterans and sometimes veterans themselves with scholarships and other kinds of help that these veterans' families need. I want to introduce everybody to a young man, Chase Wixon. He is the Foster Parenting Recruiting Manager for the Bayer Foundation. Thanks for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun. I hope always when I start meeting someone like yourself and telling me all these interesting things about the Bayer Foundation, I'm hoping that we communicate everything we've already talked about on the radio. So tell us a little bit about the Bayer Foundation and what you do.
Well, we're a treatment foster care agency, and a lot of people, they know what regular foster care is. They know foster parenting. They've seen it on movies. They've heard about it. They've read about it. But not a lot of people know what treatment foster care is. And treatment foster care is a specialized program made for kids that have really had very difficult situations in their life, gone through significant trauma. You're talking about major abuse, neglect, abandonment and things of that nature. And because of the things that have happened to them, they really struggle to maintain their behaviors. They struggle to maintain their moods. And so we provide a program that really helps them to work through those issues.
Well, we were joking around when we first met. You have four children. I have five. Mine are all grown up. Yours are still pretty young. Well, you got a high schooler and then a real young one, elementary school age. I made the statement to you, and you agreed wholeheartedly, you can't practice being a parent because each child is so different. So I'm interested here about the training that you give these foster parents.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't want to correct you, but I only have three of them.
Oh, three. There you go.
I got
there
three, and I got a few pooches as well, so I guess they could be considered as extra children. But absolutely, the training that we give our parents that are incoming really teaches them about trauma because people don't understand it. When we talk about when we see kids with behaviors, you see like a kid at Walmart throwing a tantrum on the floor and, you might walk by and say, ooh, what's wrong with that kid? Our training teaches you to kind of reframe that thought process and think not what is wrong with that kid, but what has happened to that kid. And there's a very big difference because even with that kid that's having the tantrum on the floor of Walmart, something has happened to him to make him think that having that behavior is going to give him a desired result. Somebody maybe in the past has said, you know what, I'm just going to get you the toy. And so that reinforces his own belief that he can do that tantrum or behave that way and get a positive result out of it. When we're talking about our kids that have gone through that abuse and neglect and things of that nature, a lot of the times their behaviors tend to come out more aggressively, or sometimes their tantrums aren't necessarily related to wanting a toy, but just wanting that love and belonging in a family. And so in order to go about getting love and belonging, they're doing things to push you away. And it's really a test. It's a test to our parents to continue to be consistent and to have patience and understanding and to continue to show that love even through the difficult behaviors. And so when we talk about, like I said, the content of our training, we really focus on trauma. We also focus on a thing called interventions, things that a lot of parents do, to kind of curb behaviors, like, maybe you give a kid a timeout or privilege removal. I know, like with my teenagers, it's, hey, if you're going to behave like that or going to act that way, we're going to take your phone. And that's a privilege removal. But, you know, we talk about those common sense techniques, and kind of gear them to be able to help those kids with trauma related behaviors understand that there's a more positive way to go about what they're trying to get. You know, if I wanted, love and belonging, I could either have a meltdown and have a tantrum and be comforted that way, or I could ask my parent for one-on-one time. Hey, I really need to just spend some time with you. And so we want to teach them, hey, there's a positive way to get the same result or a better result as opposed to some of the negative behaviors that are caused, again, by that trauma.
Chase, do you provide some training not just for foster parents but just parents in general?
Most of our training is specialized towards the people that are on the journey to their licensure. However, we do work with some of our biological parents. You know, the kids that arrive in our care have, like I said, been removed from pretty rough situations. And again, some of these parents, through no fault of their own, part of the cycle of their own life, ended up in a bad situation themselves. And sometimes substance abuse comes in, alcoholism, those types of things. And so when we're trying to rebuild that family, we invite those parents, those biological parents, to take part in some of our trainings and try to assist them with that transition of getting that kid back home, so that both the parent and the child understand, you know, that, hey, you went through the treatment and I also went through this journey with you to improve myself as a parent, and we can rebuild this family. Because again, not all of our kids, go on to adoption. We do try to rebuild many of the families that come in.
It sounds like as you're describing this, that there's a lot of young people that grow up with trauma. It's never really treated. They might mm-hmm. be in a standard foster care system. And I don't want to criticize that,
no.
But it's not really designed to do what you do. To really stop this cycle.
Exactly.
And you are literally stopping it in its tracks and hopefully going to ensure that these children become good parents because they are going to be able to work out the issues with themselves and understand what that foster parent's role is and how things are going to work from this point forward. They get a sense more of security and consistency, and so I can see how that works.
Absolutely. Somebody asks, what's the difference between your program and a regular foster care program, you know, where we could get them some outpatient therapy? You know, we have specially trained, licensed treatment foster parents. The therapy is given by, a therapist every single week. Our program wraps them up in any other services that they might need. We had a kid that was so neglected that he couldn't speak, and he was 5 years old. He struggled with just formulating words, and so one of the things that we provided to him was a speech language pathologist, and made sure that we got that outside service for him. You know, a lot of our kids, they've struggled in school, and a lot of times they're so neglected that they haven't even gone to school because their parents aren't forcing them to go. And so we make sure that each one of our kids is set up with IEPs and any other assistance that they might need so that they can be successful scholastically as well. So there is a major difference between, what we do and what regular foster parents do. And like you said, it's, it is preparing those kids for the next step.
So as our listeners are hearing this, they may think, haven't had kids in the house for a while. That might be a neat ministry to foster parent someone. What's the process? Is there a lot of Does it take a lot of time and a lot of training?
It's different for everyone. Depending on the openness of your schedule and your motivation to get through the process, it can be fairly quick. We want people to attend an orientation, and I have the dates and times for those, and so I'll give you those before we end. But you attend an orientation, find out more, and then if you're interested, we say, hey, let's start with a background check. Let's get that all cleared up, and then let's start on the training journey. And usually the training journey I can get through parents because I also I don't just recruit. I also train the new foster parents coming in. The training journey can last a couple of weeks generally, and then from there we move on to a home study process, which is a lot of paperwork, and somebody comes out to certify your home as a licensed treatment foster care home. But from beginning to end, you're looking at short term, on the shorter end of time frame, maybe about a month and a half. Longer end, I've had some parents, you know, be able to kind of work out their schedules, so they attend a couple of trainings every month, and they've spread it out over 4 or 5 months, and then they're licensed. So it just depends on, again, your availability and your motivation. But something that you said is true. We welcome empty nesters. You know, we have a lot of parents that are retired that do this, so you don't have to be young and ready to raise kids, you know, and have kids of your own. We have single parents. We have parents that have never actually had their own children, but just done fostering as sort of a ministry for them. You know, everybody has their different motivations, wanting to give back, you know, performing a ministry. Maybe they had their own childhood trauma and they're trying to, you know, help a kid that was in the same boat as maybe they were. We have a lot of that in our agency, and it's an amazing piece to you know, the people that we get to work with.
Chase, you also assist the parents that become foster parents. You assist them a little bit in offsetting some of the costs of raising a child too, right?
Absolutely. It's not something that you would do for free. We don't. It's not taxable income, so to speak. It's a stipend that we give our parents, and it's definitely more than they would get for like regular foster care, because we are a specialized program. I don't like to discuss money too much, because I want people to seek out this job because it's in their heart. But, you know, we have a lot of parents to where one parent works outside of the home full time, and another parent specifically is the go-to foster parent of that home. And, you know, the income certainly helps them to support, you know, their family and their home. And so we want to make sure that our foster parents are compensated. Absolutely.
How much need is there for foster parents?
Well, it's never ending. You know, we throw out some statistics when we do the training, but, you know, I'll throw some out there for people right now that are listening. You know, there are over 500,000 kids right now in foster care.
Wow.
In the United States. And, if you're a football fan, that's about 8 football stadiums, if you kind of do the math there, depending on the football stadiums that you're looking at. And that's how many kids are in foster care right now in the United States. That's more than the amount of foster homes that we have. There are more kids out there than foster home, you know, availability. So it's an incredible need. And, you know, we have a lot of underserved populations in foster care. Everybody wants the, you know, little tiny kids, you know, babies. Most of our kids are going to fall between the ages of 4 and 10. You know, and we have teenagers that are extremely underserved. We only have a handful of homes that are comfortable with accepting teenagers into their home. And so, you know, we're always looking for parents that are willing to help out teens. It's a major need. You know, out of that 500,000, almost 200,000 of them fall into that 13 to 18 range. So it's a major, major need.
Chase, before we take our first break, I want you to tell our audience a little bit about the dates for this orientation.
Yes.
And then I want to tackle that again before the bottom of the hour. And we always had to tell them a couple times on the radio.
Absolutely. And then to give my contact information as well, I don't know if you guys...
Absolutely. Give it out.
Okay, so my email address is cwixon@bair, and that's bair.org. My phone number to the office is 505-888-1362. And our next orientations are Tuesday, October 13th at 9 a.m. and Tuesday, October 27th at 9 a.m. Those are virtual. They're not in-person trainings. Most of our trainings are done virtually right now, though we do have a couple in-office trainings to where, you know, we're only letting one or two parents in to do those trainings in person. But, you know, as restrictions change, we're certainly trying to cater to that. But those two, again, they last about an hour and a half or so. I leave some time for Q&A so people can ask the questions that they need. But those are the next two orientations we have. We have them twice a month, every month. If you are interested, if you go to Bear Foundation of New Mexico on Facebook, we always give information about our trainings, upcoming trainings on there as well.
Sounds good. We're in studio with Chase Wixon. He's the foster parent recruiting manager for the Bear Foundation. We'll be back with more. Talk to Chase about maybe some good success stories when we get back.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Chase Wixon, foster parenting recruiting manager for the Bear Foundation, in studio with me this afternoon. Chase, share with us that transition, that a success story, if you will, of that child that was in trouble, goes to through your program and is now doing well.
Well, one story that comes to mind is of a 9-year-old boy that actually, when I was a treatment coordinator, which some people call social worker, some people might say case manager, we call it treatment coordinator, and that's actually how I started with the Bear Foundation. I worked with this young man through a lot. He really struggled. He came from a home that that had a lot of trauma. He was homeless. He often would share stories about, you know, sleeping in sheds or eating out of trash cans or living in shelters or living in a car, different homes and hotels and motels that he stayed in for a night here or there. You know, he was in regular foster care, and when he was in regular foster care, he really struggled with behaviors. He was aggressive, you know, had some higher needs. He wet the bed every day, even as a 9-10-year-old kid. You know, he really struggled with that. He came into our program, and, you know, he blossomed. And, you know, part of his journey was about just that self-belief. He never had that. He never thought he was a good kid. He constantly would say, you know, I'm a tough kid. I'm tough to handle. I'm a bad kid. And, you know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we spent a lot of time on that self-esteem piece, you know, having him work through things that he felt he was good at. We got him involved in soccer, and his first soccer game, he got a hat trick. So, you know, he started finding these little successes and finding that self-esteem, finding that self-worth. You know, trauma distorts a kid's view of the world, you know, in order to survive. And so, you know, he slowly began to realize that he had value, that he was a good kid. And, you know, went through our program, was there for a couple of years, and actually he comes back and visits from time to time now. Actually, he was adopted out of our program pretty quickly after he discharged from our program successfully. He was adopted by a great family in a different New Mexico city. But I can't tell you that kid, you know, without going into specifics and confidentiality and all that, you know, really had a great impact on me, and just, you know, to see his personal growth, to see the work that he really put in, to see his beliefs change about himself, about the world, about other people. He didn't think that adults could be trusted, because why should he trust them? His experience with adults was fairly negative throughout his life. And through our program, through that consistency, the structure, the routine, the love that our parents gave him, you know, he turned a page and, you know, was a completely different kid. And it was an amazing to be a part of it.
I think that as people of faith, we know that we are made and created in the image of God. But most of us have a really difficult time seeing God in ourselves. And people that are really loving, they mirror how God sees you back to you. And that sounds like that young man really had that through your foster parents.
Yeah.
We're meeting this afternoon with Chase Wixon. He's the foster parent recruiting manager for the Bear Foundation. Tell us a little bit about, I know you're not going to ever speak negatively of the basic government foster care system, but I'd like you to talk about maybe emphasizing the differences between your program and regular foster care.
Well, yeah, I definitely wouldn't talk negative about what CYFD does. CYFD does what they can with limited resources. You know, if I said, build me a house, and I gave you a bag of nails, a hammer, and some boards, you do the best that you can. And they really, they're so inundated their system is overwhelmed. And I think that there's many workers that do a marvelous job over at CYFD. The main difference between us and you know, CYFD and treatment foster care and regular foster care is really the fact that we have highly trained parents that are trained specifically to deal with trauma. They are educated in what trauma is, what to do in escalated situations, how to repair relationships with kids, how to form positive relationships, even in the face of those extreme challenges that come with trauma. And on top of that, we wrap our kids up in these services. Like I said, they get therapy every single week. In foster care, you know, they're lucky to maybe get a biweekly appointment with an outpatient therapist who has, you know, hundreds and hundreds of clients or 50, 60 clients. Our therapists at our office, you know, have maybe 15 to 20 clients that they specialize in. Each one of our kids is given a case manager that works their treatment program. What is this kid's trauma and what does he need to accomplish in our program? And our case managers, our TCs or treatment coordinators, like I said, as we like to call them, really drive that plan. They work with the parents. It's a grouping of people that have the best interest of that child at heart, and they come together and work through those challenges together. TCs, therapists, any outside entities that we may go through. You know, we have an excellent clinical director and state director that oversee, you know, what we're doing in terms of our program. And so there's a lot of clinical oversight and making sure that we're providing the kids, you know, the best way to deal or cope with the things that they've been through. And it's amazing what we're able to do.
I hope this isn't a silly question, but of course our audience is largely a faith-based audience. Mm-hmm. And the people that are not believers in Jesus, we hope they become believers in Jesus. We hope they actually listen to the show, listen to our teachings, evaluate it, ask questions, because we know that if they honestly do that, they're going to see the Lord. They just are. People that have those kind of open minds, are you restricted at all in sharing your faith with these kids if you become a foster parent?
No, I mean, it's something that, you know, we certainly encourage. Now, we can't, as part of, you know, state regulations and things of that nature, we can't force a kid to go to church.
Right.
And we want to have our kids be granted access to practice their own faith. For example, you know, we have Native American kids that come into our services, and we want to make sure that they're free to practice their faith as they see it, and we work with, you know, tribal services and things of that nature to make sure that they're granted those resources. But more often than not, most of our kids enjoy going to church. The parents that go regularly, you know, see their kids grow through Sunday school or you know, different kids groups and things of that nature. I know that Calvary has a program here that actually – When I've come here with my in-laws, that they've attended, you know, some of the children's biblical study programs here. Mm-hmm. So, we certainly encourage it. You know, we can't force anybody though, nor would we want to. Sure. I think that, you know, if you're making that choice of faith, it should be something that's a personal choice, that your relationship with Jesus is personal to you. And so, you know, we'll provide the support for our parents to be able to do so. But again, we're not going to force kids. But I will tell you, most of our parents that have that question coming in, they're like, can he go to church with me? Is it okay if they go to church? They find kids that are so excited about going to something like this because they never had that in their lives. And so it's an important piece to what a lot of our parents provide.
I like it. Chase, tell our listeners one more time how to get involved with your program, how to get oriented, go through an orientation, mm-hmm. and just find out about the Bear Foundation.
Again, you know, our orientations are October 13th and October 27th. We hold them twice a month. Those orientations are at 9 a.m. Again, it's online. So if you are interested, just email me. Again, my email is cwixon at bair.org. It's bear.org. And say, hey, I'm interested. I heard you on the radio. I'd like to attend your orientation. I'll send you an invite to attend the virtual training on Microsoft Teams. The program or the orientation gives you just a very quick snapshot of our program, answers maybe some of the questions you have going in, and then I leave myself available for at least half an hour to a full hour if needed to answer any Q&A. And I always tell parents, hey, I really like those hypothetical questions, like what if this or what if that? And I want them to do that because that's personal to them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they feel that they have enough information and have their questions answered, we move on into the training main part or the meaty part of the training curriculum and work our way through the licensure process, which, like I said, includes the training and home study.
Chase, thank you so much for joining us on ABQ Connect, and we look forward to having you on next month. We are going to be doing some announcements for you almost on a daily basis, three or four times a day. Our listeners are going to be hearing about the Bear Foundation pretty regularly here for the next couple of months. So, again, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next month.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thank you.